Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 49 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I'm joined by my two very best friends, Garrett Drake.
Hello.
And Jacob Alka.
Hey.
Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Yeah, Jacob. Hi. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Yeah.
Hey.
Preston.
Yes.
It's an honor to be here. This is not only our second week in a row filming a podcast on a Saturday, but a Saturday morning nonetheless. Our first podcast ever where we have coffee in hand. This feels like an early morning radio show right now, and I'm digging it.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Jacob?
Tired.
Really?
I was up a little late last night, and I didn't get off work till like 11, so.
Oh, wow. I saw you on PS4 at like 2-ish?
Yeah. I was playing Destiny, believe it or not.
Really? What were you doing in that?
Just playing Iron Banner.
Okay.
There's a... The new loot system is very lenient. It's ever since the new update, and it's fun getting all this new gear and... I don't know, it's just fun playing multiplayer sometimes.
Dude,
taking a break from Dark Souls.
Me and Garrett are totally going to hop back in now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have me sold, man. I'm itching to play. You guys just want to just do this podcast later and play some Iron Banner?
Yeah, sure, man.
Awesome. Yeah, the only thing I did this week that was what I consider a pretty decent accomplishment was finally beating Dark Souls 3. I miraculously defeated every boss in the game. I have not yet started New Game Plus because I am going to commit to platinuming that game. It's going to be a matter of time because we have so many games coming out in our very near future. But I want to do it for sure. It's just a couple tedious things to accomplish. But
yeah, I for sure want to play through it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
It is fun. And in addition,
then again, I don't even know if I'm halfway through yet. So yeah.
Well, you're getting there. You're not terribly far from the end. Just a handful more bosses to fight, and you've seen half the bosses I fought that are in your future.
Fun.
But in addition to that, I started Ratchet and Clank last night, and I'm loving it. I actually got to the point where you were in our Let's Play, so that's where I'm at right now.
Exciting. I think I'm still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm loving it, dude. And it's a shame too. The whole time I was playing the game, I was like, man, this world is just so cool and fun, and I'm really liking the characters. It's just a shame that the movies received such terrible reviews. Yeah. Later, Jacob.
Yeah. That's definitely been a disappointment to me. Is because by the looks of the trailers and how well the game's doing and stuff, I thought this could be like, you know, one of the good video game movies. But
yeah.
Alas.
Uh-huh.
I guess we'll wait for Assassin's Creed
the
now.
The streak continues.
Yeah, I loved, I can't remember exactly what you said, Jeremy John's intro to the Ratchet & Clank reviews. Like, finally, we have a great video game movie in Warcraft. Hopefully.
Yeah,
so probably even that.
I forgot about Warcraft. That's coming out before Assassin's Creed, right?
Yeah, it's coming out next month. Maybe?
June? Is it June?
I think it's June.
Okay, yeah.
Guys. Next June.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't have a, like, I'm not heavily invested, obviously, in the Warcraft lore or the world, but the more trailers that have come out for that movie, the more appealing it's looked to me.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to give it a chance.
Oh,
I don't want to say it looks bad. I think it looks pretty interesting, so I'll for sure go see it. And let's hope that's good, because if Assassin's Creed is our last hope for a decent video game movie, when you have Michael Fassbender of all people, then it is truly hopeful, or hopeless, sorry. It's early in the morning.
Especially when The Last of Us movie news, I think we talked about it, where that's been on like hold and stuff for a while.
That'll be a miracle if that happens.
Yeah. I kind of don't want it to happen.
Me neither.
But it doesn't need it.
No.
Yeah. But anywho, I played Dark Souls 3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beat a couple of bosses.
Have you completed it yet?
No. I'm at the Dragon Slayer armor, just like he was in one of our Let's Plays.
Oh.
I fought him one time.
Uh-huh.
I got his health about a quarter down.
Yeah.
And then he one-hitted me. And I just was like, I think I need a break.
Because
I had just beaten two bosses up until that point.
Right.
So yes. But I'm excited to get back into it. I hadn't played it in like a week, and I really love that game a lot. So I don't know if I'll platinum it, which is really, I'm typically the one that really is going out for that and stuff. But there's just like Uncharted's coming out in like, what, 2 weeks?
I think. Very soon.
Yeah. My goodness. So I don't think there's enough time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to do it in between that time. If not, it'll probably be a while before I platinum it. But the main reason why I want to do that is because Bloodborne, I goofed so bad. I'll never forget it. Like I've said 100 times on the podcast, when I decided to go into New Game Plus, I didn't realize that's what I was doing. Yeah. Like, oh, wow. It's like, do you want to, like, wake up the next morning or whatever? I was like, that sounds nice.
And he, like, chopped your head off.
Yeah, basically. Damn. And he, like...
Spoilers.
I wake up and it's, like, New Game Plus. And I was such a low level going into New Game Plus that every enemy I fought was, like, all of them were a boss. It's like, it took me that long to kill all of them. So, I was like, I'm not going to make that mistake. And I didn't platinum Bloodborne, so I'm going to platinum the final Dark Souls game. Which, speaking of, boys, you ready for this one? From Nerdist.com, from Garrett Holfish, quote... From Software may be finishing up the Dark Souls series, but director Miyazaki says they already are working on a new original game. The announcement comes from an interview Miyazaki had with GGN Gamer, translated through Google Translate and clarified through NeoGAF. Quote from Miyazaki. I think it's time we take a step in a new direction. Development of a new IP has already begun. While nothing else is revealed about the mysterious IP, he takes the chance to clarify the future of Dark Souls. As he stated before, Miyazaki believes Dark Souls 3 is the final game in the series. Quote, there's absolutely no plan right now for any sequels, spin-offs, or tie-ins, he says. But I can't say for certain the possibility is 0%. For example, if a From Software developer comes to me 5 years from now and begs me, please let me make another Dark Souls, then I will not rule out the possibility to let my subordinates start a new project. What is certain for now is, to me, personally, Dark Souls is over. He further clarifies that this feeling extends to Demon Souls as well. What is not clear is whether this included Bloodborne. Despite being a different franchise, it wears the Souls influences on its sleeve. We are crossing our fingers that more will come. Interestingly enough, Miyazaki seems interested in continuing one of their older games, Armored Core. He says, personally, I want to do it, he says. After all, I was involved in 3 games in the series. Armored Core is one of the pillars of From Software's lineup. So, how do you guys feel about that? Me, personally... Because I just got into the Souls series. I'm like, oh, man, that kind of sucks. Cause, especially for Bloodborne, because Bloodborne is where we started. Mm-hmm. And or at least me and Jacob. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I hope to see at least one more Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. That game, without a doubt, wears the Souls franchise on its sleeve. It has a lot of similarities. Few differences. But I think I would love to see another sequel to Bloodborne. I wouldn't be devastated if we didn't get another Souls game, because we have Dark Souls 2 on PS4. I'm like, oh, I'll just go play that one at some point if I want to. But I want to get your thoughts on that for sure.
I think that's noble and of him to like kind of want to end something that's good. I feel like, obviously, you know, people just like something that's successful, they just like milk it and milk it and milk it. So I think that's pretty cool that he wants to end it. But then on the other hand, I don't necessarily think, even though there was Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, and Bloodborne, so like 5 games kind of in the Souls-ish like franchise. I still wouldn't necessarily say they were milking it. I mean, they took their time and every game was like super solid. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that I think they definitely will make it. Mm-hmm. Make another one, whether it be a Bloodborne sequel or a Dark Souls sequel, just kind of like how The Witcher or CD Projekt Red was like, this is our last Witcher, and then it sold like a couple million copies and they were like, okay, probably maybe never not. Mind and
yeah
so, and it's like, people love this series and there's nothing really else like it. I mean, people are copying it with like Lords of the Fallen, mm-hmm. and then that new game from Team Ninja, I think, called Neo.
Yeah.
I mean, people are definitely, this has spawned like a new like genre, basically, just like the hardest crap like third person combat game. Fans are going to be demanding it in a couple of years. And like he said, if somebody comes up and asks them and stuff, I just think they're tired of it. And I would be too. They made like 5 games in a row of it. So they'll probably just take a break. But I definitely don't think the Soul series is going anywhere for sure. You know? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to deny, like, I don't think they're going to pull like a Half-Life 3 and just blatantly just ignore people like screaming for a sequel, especially when I think Bandai Namco said it was their fastest selling game like ever in the history of the company. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
that'd be pretty stupid to not, you know, make another Dark Souls game.
But yeah.
Anyways.
What do you think, Jacob?
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you. It's my first Souls game, so it's kind of unfortunate that I won't get to play any more new ones as far as they're concerned. I'd love to play a new like Dark Souls 4, but who knows if we'll ever get it. I think it'd be really interesting if I'm not sure if they'll do this in their new IP, but if they applied the same formula, like you know the hardness, the bosses, I think that would be interesting. But I don't know if they're going to even go in that direction, maybe they'll do something completely new. I don't know.
Yeah. In addition to that, you mentioned Armored Core. Have you guys played Armored Core?
I've known of it.
Yeah, I've only known the title. I've never played it.
Okay. Stuff like that early.
That was amazing.
What? Did it rhyme? What happened?
At the same time, we were like, I've never played it in the same tone.
mech games really don't interest me at all. Like, even like
Titanfall?
Yeah. I, that actually.
I've said openly that Titanfall's Titans, as cool as they are, weren't what attracted me to the game.
See, I liked it because it was like you're controlling a person.
Right.
See, I don't really like controlling vehicle combat games and stuff, like tanks and stuff. That's never interested me. But Titanfall is essentially you're just running around like a big dude in a first person shooter. So that didn't bother me. Yeah.
Excuse you.
Excuse me.
You okay over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just a little checking. Just choked on my water.
Oh, my.
Bit.
You got to be careful. I'll survive. Water can kill you.
Yeah, water's pretty dangerous. But, yeah. What were we talking about?
Dark Souls. I was going to say, my last question regarding Dark Souls today was, well, one thing I wanted to say is, as far as it's selling well, was funny too, because the morning I actually went to buy the game, there was like 15 people in there wanting to buy Dark Souls, and there's one guy that was like arguing with the GameStop employee. He's like, can I please pick up my my roommate's copy? He's like, I can give you his number and stuff. And he's like, no, I have to have him like sign this thing to do it or something. He's like, please. He's like, he's gonna be so bummed if I can't get it for him. And it's like, there's 15 people in there trying, all of them were trying to buy Dark Souls. So I thought that was pretty cool. And Like we mentioned a few episodes ago, I had the privilege of going on the Double Tap podcast and talking about Dark Souls a bit, which is funny because at the time I had no clue about Dark Souls 3. I had nothing, knew nothing about the game. But now, obviously, I played through the entire thing. I know a good bit. And one of the main questions was, a lot of players are saying this game's not as difficult as the other ones, or people are saying it's easier. What do you guys think about that? I know you haven't officially beaten the game yet, but you've played enough to get a taste of like what the difficulty's really like. What do you guys think as far as that's concerned?
At points, it's been easy. Like, there was a point where I went through like four or five bosses like without dying,
right?
And then I hit one the other day that just was like, I had to like reevaluate my life. I had to like take a walk outside.
What am I doing?
Take a look at the flowers.
Yeah,
like
pretty much
punch dance in your front yard.
What is the meaning of life?
And then I hit two more bosses after that, easier than that one, but still just took me like at least six or seven tries a piece. I'm trying to gauge this with Bloodborne, really, because that's the only one I remember playing. I played Demon's Souls on the PS3 a long time ago, and I just kind of gave up just because I didn't really understand what was happening.
Yeah.
I was like, this is way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to Bloodborne, I would say it's about even, I guess. Because I'm trying to think of maybe a little bit easier than Bloodborne, but purely because I played Bloodborne, so I've played a game like this before, so I guess I'm not going through like the learning curve of like figuring out everything.
I think that's the biggest thing.
So yeah, because Bloodborne, the first like Ghirahim, I think the first like or the second boss like took me days to beat,
right?
Whereas in this game, you know, if I just sit down for about 2 or 3 hours tops, I can beat the boss. So yeah.
And I was wondering, do you think that's a testament to our experience of Bloodborne going into this kind of knowing what to expect gameplay wise or do you think it's... That's the thing that's hard to figure out. I can't tell if... Like, I was going to say the same thing. There were a couple points where I was surprised at how easy it was. And the only... And this is where I thought it was different, because there was never a normal enemy that I thought was too hard to defeat. Which, I guess, is to be expected. But there was never an enemy where I was like, oh, this is too hard. Like, they're annoying me.
For me. The werewolf spider dudes.
Okay, those were hard, but I always avoided them.
I just run.
I never killed one of them.
I found two of those. I found one before I fought the Devourer of Souls, and he just came up out of nowhere. Yet again, I almost just whizzed everywhere.
Are you talking about the same thing that... Do you remember in the Cathedral of the Deep, the one that drops from the ceiling?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Dude.
That thing sucks.
Preston said that rocked his world
that
the first time it appeared.
That literally made me scream.
I knew there was something in there. I didn't know what. I went to grab the item, and it, like, dropped on me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
We need to have, like, a prayer session for the people that played that game.
I think the scariest enemies in the game are the ones that creep me out the most were those things and the spider ladies that like the white spider ladies with like 1,000 arms that live in the water. Dude, those things
you're gonna
freak
me.
They just make my skin crawl, dude. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, they're pretty freaky.
Yeah, but
I would say even they take down pretty easy. I don't even know if the wolf spiders are easy to take down because I've never even attempted to hit them. I just run for my life. I agree with you.
Yeah, despite the fluctuation in difficulty of the game, I mean, I know we've all discussed, like, we had difficulty with various bosses, which I thought was interesting because there's some bosses that I had a hard time with that you didn't, and there's other bosses that you had a difficult time with that I didn't, miraculously. It's weird how that happens. Mm-hmm. And
can we all agree that we struggled with the Abyss Watchers?
Preston did, and he beat him on his first try.
Gee, how?
That's what blew my mind.
It took me, like, 15 attempts.
That's what frustrated even more, that he took me, like, 10 or more times to beat, and the person's like, oh yeah, I beat the guy on my first try. I like put down my controller and like you know, like an 80s dance song came on, and I just like flipped around my room and was like looking at the sky and stuff. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know if I got lucky, but like it wasn't even hard either. I was just like,
I couldn't read his like moves. I don't know. Sometimes I have trouble dodging. I don't know.
I guess I just got lucky or something.
I could get to the second phase easy, but once I got there, I guess it's like I got scared or something with that flame sword.
Pontiff, the one with the dual swordsman, did you beat him the first try?
Yeah, no, I beat him on my second try.
Okay, see, he took me like 10 tries to beat. So, yeah, it is weird kind of how... I don't know. I guess since there's like...
Maybe it's our fluctuation in levels. I never thought about that.
That has to be it, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there was a couple... Like, when I got to old Demon King or whatever his name was... I was like, my sword was like wimpy at the time. Preston's like, I killed him like really fast. I was like, what the heck? I'm like 10 levels higher than you. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. And then I went and leveled up my sword and then he died really fast.
Yeah.
So I think just depending on what level we were at, a certain boss is definitely determined the outcome for sure.
Yeah.
What was the last thing I was going to say about that? That was interesting. Oh, what was it? We were talking about the bosses.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I lost my train of thought.
What were we talking about before that?
I don't remember.
Well.
I lost myself.
It's all right.
It's too early in the morning. Moving on from Joe Scrubbles of IGN. After a pause... Oh, quote. Joe Scrubbles.
Joe Scrubbles.
I think he might be from a different brand. I don't think he's from the U.S. branch.
Different
branch of IGN. Like a different country because he mentions a U.S. shop called Target, acting like he doesn't know what Target is, so he's probably from like a U.K. or something. Quote, after a possible reveal by next week and the title appearing on PSN, a new leak suggests that a Call of Duty Infinite Warfare Legacy Edition will include a remastered version of the original Modern Warfare game. Posted on Reddit, an image appears to show a reservation card from U.S. shop Target showing a November 4th release date, art, title, and the Modern Warfare detail from the upcoming Infinity Ward game. And there's a picture of the box art that you guys, I assume, have seen by now. Yeah. The Reddit user has since deleted their account. Activision has so far refused to comment on any rumors about... Yeah, he's definitely from the UK, the way he spells rumors. Any rumors about the new game?
R-O-O-M-S?
Yep.
Or no,
R-U-M-O-U-R-S.
Yeah. R-O-O-M-R-E-R-S.
Mm-hmm. Last year, a petition for Infinity Ward to remaster Modern Warfare 2 garnered over 200,000 signatures. Now, there's a little detail on this box art that I feel like all but confirms that this is true, but this is kind of interesting. And bear with me, this text is so small. I need like
okay.
All right, prove
a super microscope to see it. Interestingly, the small print indicates that Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered contains only 10 multiplayer maps from the original. The URL that promises more information on that point does not currently link to a live page. There has been speculation as to whether a remaster would contain multiplayer at all, considering it could potentially split Infinite Warfare's multiplayer audience. The reduced map selection could be due to the difficulty of fully remastering so many of the originals. There's a precedent of this. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary also launched with a truncated selection of remastered maps. And let me start by saying, I hope and pray this is true, because you and I have been saying for a while we'd love to play a remaster of Modern Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, we've also considered the fact that if it released alongside a new Call of Duty, it would most definitely split the multiplayer player base as far as the multiplayer is concerned. Now, if it didn't contain multiplayer at all, it'd be pointless, because the whole appeal of the campaign's great in Modern Warfare, but the multiplayer is what launched Call of Duty to the success it's at now.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, if this is true, Jacob, I know you haven't played Modern Warfare, but from you specifically, Preston, if you had to pick... I know I can't remember 10 maps off the top of my head, but some of your favorites that have to be in the multiplayer for you, go.
Crossfire.
Yep. Backlot.
Backlot, of course.
It's called, what's the wilderness one? It's like in the woods with the cabins and
Creek.
Stuff. Is it Creek?
Yeah, it's Creek.
Okay.
Is Rusta?
That's Modern Warfare 2. Creek was a DLC map, though.
Okay, what's the one it's called like Wildlife or Woodland or something?
Overgrown.
Overgrown, that's what it is.
That's got to be in there.
Yeah, that's a good
one. That was a Modern Warfare 2 remaster, too.
Oh, what's another one?
Bog's
classic.
Shipment, of course.
Yeah, Shipment, definitely.
This is a testament.
It's like the smallest Call of Duty map in history.
I can't tell you any other map from any other Call of Duty, but I can just spout off Call of Duty 4 maps.
Yeah,
you played that game a lot.
I played that game a ridiculous amount.
You can bring back the old M1 sniper.
Yeah, hopefully ACOG. They don't patch that.
That'd be like so dumb.
God, if they don't.
It wasn't so overpowered. You can still, if you weren't good at aiming, you sucked with it. But I mean, are they like gonna remaster it, you think, or just up-res it?
I don't even care if it look. I it could look the exact same to me,
because that's a lot of resources. Oh, yeah. If they're coming out with a new Modern Warfare Infinite War or whatever it's called as well, I think it's just gonna be an up-res.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with
this. The gameplay is what's great about it.
If it comes with, like, I'm sure it'll just be like a download, like a PSN or Xbox Live download, and if you get like the collector's edition, it just comes with a code. I think I forgot which game did it. I don't know if it was Modern Warfare 2, but I think one of the Infinity Ward Call of Duties came with a download code for the first Call of Duty as like an Xbox Live arcade game. But I'm sure it's going to be like the same type of deal right there. But yeah, that is interesting about splitting the multiplayer base. I don't really know how much it would, because I don't know, a lot of people that play Call of Duty today probably never even played Call of Duty 4, so I don't even know if they care. They're probably just excited for the new iteration of it. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, I enjoy playing the new Call of Duties. I really enjoy Black Ops 3. I'm sure I'm interested to see what Infinite War is. Thinking back on Ghosts, I don't think I hate it now as much as I did then.
Right.
Seeing as I think it's better, in my opinion, than like Advanced Warfare. I really didn't like Advanced Warfare that much, multiplayer wise. Single player was good. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I would love to see statistics if this is true, which I'm 90% sure it is, because this has been a rumor for a long time, of like, you know, who's playing Infinite Warfare and this game when it comes out. I'd definitely be interested to see that.
So, yeah. Yeah. I just hope that if this is true and so on and so forth, I hope that Team Tactical is an included game type. Now, I've noticed in recent remasters, specifically a multiplayer shooter, Gears, for example. I mean, all the original game types are there, but they've added new ones and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been some game types like Halo's remaster in the collector's edition. What's it called? Halo Master Chief Collection. I think if I'm not mistaken, there's a couple game modes that were not included at launch, at least. And I know you Team Tactical and Modern Warfare 1 had a special place in our hearts, and I would love if you, me, and Jay, or you, me, and Jacob get on one night and just play the old classic 3-on-3 in Call of Duty 4. That'd be awesome.
So, and that was back in the day, which I actually had my mic in all the time, and it was just smack talk central, man.
Yeah.
Like, no party, just like,
yeah,
you pop out into the other lobby with the other three dudes, and it was go time.
Oh, yeah, we just got down and dirty, man. Classic.
The good old days.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope that's true, because I think that's really cool, and I know people have been asking that for a while, and it seems like I hear more people saying they want a Modern Warfare 2 remaster more than the original.
If they did Modern Warfare 2 and took out the one-man army bullcrap, then
I'd be down for that too.
But I'm just like, as far as I hear, like, people that I hear talk that have been playing God of Duty for a while, they pretty much want the original Modern Warfare remade.
Yeah,
so
I'm in that same boat. Boys, from Wesley Poole of Eurogamer, quote, Fallout 4 mods come to Xbox One in May, Bethesda announced. They arrive on PlayStation 4 a month later in June. Official modding via the Creation Kit is now in open beta on PC via Steam. Bethesda's built a new system that sees mods uploaded to Bethesda.net. Mods can be browsed, downloaded, and installed from within the game. So, are you guys excited for the mods coming to consoles finally?
Yes, but I'm interested to see how it is even going to work.
Yeah.
I've seen it on PC, how there's just like a menu when you turn on the game, and you just go to the menu, and there's like mods, and you just click on them, and they automatically download. Because it's through Bethesda.net. I don't think it's using outside sources such as like Nexus, I think that's a mod play. I don't know. I don't know the names. I don't mod. I don't know anything like that.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but the only way to get them on console is through Bethesda.net, like uploading the mods to there, so you can download them straight to your game.
Okay.
But I can hardly like keep a stable frame rate when I'm running through Boston on the PS4. Yeah. So how the heck am I gonna like be downloading crazy mods and stuff?
Let's hope that PlayStation Neo, which we will hear your thoughts from soon, it's saved better for a better spot in this podcast. Yeah. We're gonna get to that, but PlayStation Neo, if it's a thing, we won't have to worry anymore. Let's hope.
Let's hope.
But I was gonna say, is it this correct in me thinking that you need like a pretty hefty hard drive to download mods and stuff for them to like run properly?
I mean, you gotta have space.
You gotta have space, but I don't think it's like anything ridiculous.
Okay, because I didn't know how. Obviously, I'm sure mods vary in size, but I didn't know how much memory that typically takes up.
I mean, I highly doubt we'll be downloading like freaking like full on like mission mods and right. like that's what I'm just confused about, because a PC you can do whatever you want
as far as mods are concerned. I like just cosmetic things mostly. I've seen some like awesome mods on PC for Fallout that like are so cool to me.
There's a lot of cool. Coolest mod I saw was it shows the weapon on your back.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah, which I don't think I've ever said this, but like that's, I don't understand why that wasn't in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
When it's in Fallout 3.
Uh-huh.
Like just, if I have a rifle, just let me put it on my back. Like it just disappears and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which in the end, it's not that big of a deal because I'm playing in first person half the time. But I like running around seeing my gun, and I saw that's a mod that they made on PC. So that's something I would for sure like to see on console.
Definitely.
But I definitely want to know, like I just said earlier, like, how is it going to work on console? How are they going to regulate what can and can't work on console? Is Bethesda going to have to test all these mods?
I don't know. It's coming in May and June, like that's, we're days away from that. No, it is May right now.
Yeah.
This is May 2nd today. So if you're listening on Monday, May 2nd. So that's interesting. We're going to find out very soon. Yeah. And in addition to that, I know Far Harbor is coming this month, which I'm pumped for. I'm amazed at how quickly Far Harbor came out. I remember this is announced. I'm like, oh, a few months isn't a long time. I just farted big time.
Wow.
Yeah. Far Harbor at the time, I was like, a few months away obviously isn't very far away, but it's already upon us. I'm excited. And survival mode apparently is coming very soon as well. So Fallout 4, man, I'm going to jump back into that for sure. I know we're going to be busy with Fallout. I'm definitely going to play some Overwatch.
Uncharted.
We're going to be watching. Are you okay with it?
Yeah, you said we're going to be busy with Fallout.
Did I?
Yeah.
I meant to say Uncharted.
Okay.
Uncharted and Overwatch and Doom. And then I think early June is Mirror's Edge Catalyst. So I'm going to squeeze in some Fallout when I can. Yeah. So, but Fallout, man, I still love it every time I play it. And what's kept me interested the whole time, too, is that every time I'm playing something, Casey's usually right next to me playing Fallout. I mean, she's been playing that since Christmas nonstop. Jeez. Whenever I'm with her, she's playing Fallout. And every time she's playing it, I'm like, that still looks so fun to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to jump into all the new goodies that come with the mods and Far Harbor and survival mode. So
absolutely.
I'm excited to eventually go back to Fallout.
Yeah, exciting stuff, man.
A lot of juicy stuff there since I've left.
Yeah, a whole lot waiting for you. Boys, this next bit of news, although a rumor, is a rumor that I hope and pray is true with all of my heart. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
A new Spider-Man game rumored to be in development by Sucker Punch. This comes from Paolo Sirio from Gamer.com. Quote, the rumored Spider-Man game in the works at Sony could be in development at Sucker Punch, the infamous series developer, according to hints dropped by NerdLeaks. Here's what they said. Quote, Sucker Punch's title is a spectacular game. Open world and character artists have a strong understanding of the history of costume design, end quote, which could ultimately make Sucker Punch a great fit for a new Spider-Man game, supposedly based on the Homecoming movie reboot. In a later tweet, NerdLeaks got back to discuss a Spider-Man Sucker Punch game, saying it would be spectacular, and adding that the info you had... Man, this is worded weirdly. And added that the info you have read so far came directly from jobs.suckerpunch.com. This looks to be the greatest tip possibly coming from them. There could possibly be some kind of reveal at E3 2016. E3 2016 said Sucker Punch is working behind the scenes since the times of Infamous First Light for PS4. End quote. So, let me start by saying, when I was playing Infamous Second Son, the whole time I was thinking, man, imagine if we were Spider-Man right now. I thought that on more than one occasion, and I think at some point, if I'm not mistaken, you and I, Preston, were like, dude, what if Sucker Punch made Spider-Man? Or like, imagine this kind of like graphical world in a Spider-Man game would be really cool. The only thing I don't like about this rumor is that it's based off the Homecoming movie reboot, which I think is entirely unnecessary. I'm tired of Spider-Man movie games.
Well, Garrett, I would love this, but I'm going to have to burst your bubble. Because I think it is not going to happen at all.
Oh, no. Well, that's okay. I hadn't got my hopes up yet.
No, I know. But I'm going to tell you why. Sucker Punch is a Sony-owned studio.
Mm-hmm.
Sony owns them.
Mm-hmm.
Sucker Punch isn't going to make a multi-platform game. And I highly doubt Activision, who owns the rights to Spider-Man right now, would allow a Sony-owned studio to make a Spider-Man-exclusive game for the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. That just makes no sense.
Oh, it definitely doesn't. That's why I'm like, this is crazy, but I hope it's true.
Yeah. Spider-Man is just all over the place. Like, Sony, they did have the movie rights. Now they're splitting it with Marvel, or they're allowing Marvel to make movies again. Activision owns the game rights.
I'm pretty sure they do.
But think about this, though. Think about this. Activision... allowed Call of Duty to be heavily advertised on PlayStation 4 now, mm-hmm. and also think that PlayStation 4 is more than doubled the sales of Xbox One, and also sure. think they're like, wow, obviously PlayStation is very successful and people love Spider-Man. Everyone's really pumped for this new reboot. Maybe if we do it exclusively on PS4, it'll sell very well because, one, a great developer will be doing it, and two, exclusive to PS4 is already appealing in its own way, and PlayStation 4 is very successful. Who knows? Maybe they have the balls to do something like that. It's probably not true, but if they did, it sort of makes sense in that sense like that.
I'm reading right here that, I don't know if this is true or not, Activision lost the rights to all Marvel-based games because of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Really?
I guess. So, and people are asking, source, link, proof?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, so I guess just to address the rumor, I would Sucker Punch would make a cool Spider-Man game.
Oh, they absolutely would. The only thing, let's just pretend in a perfect world this news is true and this is happening, and let's say it was announced. The only thing that sucks to me is that it's based off the movie. That's cool and all, but I'm tired of the movie-based games. Let's do a own stand. I think the coolest, like, that's the thing. My favorite Spider-Man game of all time is obvious, Spider-Man 2 on PS2. Now, Ultimate Edition, or Ultimate Spider-Man, the video game, that I loved because it was not based on a movie. It was its own, like, comic booky Spider-Man game. That was so cool. I wish they would not, it didn't have to be like that art style, but I wish they'd do that, go their own route and tell their own Spider-Man story and its own standalone game, kind of like Rocksteady did with Batman, and just have free reign of whatever story you want to tell and make it your own way, not have it tied and locked down to this new movie.
Why can't it be just like the Batman games? That's what I want to know.
I know that's like, I don't know why it's,
there's so many good villains.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why it's so hard to just let that happen. No, like it's like they have to know that it would be so it obviously has to be developed very well by a very talented developer, but if it was, it would sell immensely. It would be unstoppable. Yeah. And people have been wanting that for so long. It's a shame that just no one can make that happen. I don't know what
now,
the deal is.
I don't know if this is old or not. This is from GameSpot. Okay. Activision removes Spider-Man, X-Men, and Deadpool games from Steam, Xbox Live, and PSN due to an expired licensing agreement.
Mm.
So that was 2014, though.
Interesting.
So, but a remake of Deadpool was just released.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Activision the publisher of that as well?
I think so, because it was their game.
Look it up. Deadpool game.
You look it up. I'm going to tell a new story while you're on that.
Okay.
From Marsh Davies, from Mojang themselves. Quote, get your goggles ready. You can now play Minecraft on Gear VR compatible Samsung phones. The Galaxy S7 or S7 Edge, Note 5, S6, and S6 Edge. It works by slotting your Samsung phone in the Gear VR headset and displaying one whole Minecraft world to each of your eyes. A marvel of modern science. Did you guys see gameplay for this?
No. Minecraft is out of control.
It's an unstoppable force, dude. But let me say, I know we've mentioned before that Minecraft was very fun for the first like month I played it. Me and Preston had a lot of fun with it, and I was just fascinated by that game. As simplistic as it is, just me just digging up for resources and building something random in like this open world was just awesome to me. And there's still a part of me that really wants to play that, but at the end of the day, we've all said this, like, I'm accomplishing nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. Which isn't bad, because sometimes, like, there's a point in everyone's lives, like, say, like, if I was in middle school or early high school, I'd be playing the crap out of that game. But now that we have, we're essentially grown men, we have either a full-time job or we're going to school, et cetera, so we have to we have to choose our time wisely as far as playing video games is concerned. I mean, for example, I can either choose to play Dark Souls for like 3.5 hours, or I can choose to, I don't know, play Minecraft for 3.5 hours and just build a random house.
Yeah.
It's like Dark Souls, at least I'm defeating bosses and getting trophies. I guess that's accomplishing something. At the end of the day, we're really not accomplishing anything in video games. But if we're playing a story-based game, Last of Us is a perfect example. You're going on this amazing journey. It's like watching a movie, but you're experiencing it and playing as these characters. I feel like that's an amazing experience, and we're going to hold on to forever. It's an amazing story. That's accomplishing something to me in games. And obviously, Minecraft, you're not really doing much. But
well,
I reckon
your perspective, I guess.
Right.
Some people really enjoy being creative and making random stuff in this game.
So. Oh, I'm the same way. I love building things. I think that's why I love making videos so much. I mean, it's one thing to make videos about stuff we love, like video games and everything, and especially with you guys. But I think one of my favorite parts is just making it all happen, like setting up for it and editing it and posting it online and stuff. I just think the whole process of creating something is fun. So that's why I loved Minecraft to begin with. Just building anything is awesome. Even I know we all played with Legos as a kid too. Legos have always been awesome. Funny story I want to tell real quick that I told the other night. Mega Bloks. You guys remember Mega Bloks?
Yeah.
They were the poor man's Legos.
Yeah.
So at a karate sleepover, I did karate when I was a child. Preston did as well. Remember when we used to go to those karate sleepovers?
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to two or three.
Yeah. Our karate studio had karate sleepovers from time to time where all the karate students could come together.
Too.
Yeah, it was co-ed.
Oh, shit.
You need to tell a story, too. I already know what you're thinking of. So we get to this karate sleepover every now and then, and they would have video games, and our karate instructor was hell-bent on always watching the cartoon version of Lord of the Rings. He loved it. It was his favorite movie, and he always had to play that, and he'd get pissed off if no one would shut up and watch the movie. So,
Wait, hold on. What cartoon of Lord of the Rings?
There was a cartoon version of Lord of the Rings. I don't know if it's just Fellowship of the Ring or if it's the whole trilogy smushed
into an actual show.
It's a movie. It's a cartoon version.
Okay.
I think it came out before the live-action ones.
Is it like a Lego movie? Or?
No. It's like an animated, like, 2D... animation.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, so we get there, and at one point, Preston was there with me. He was off hanging out with some girl. So I don't. Hey. We'll get to that in a second. Well, he's talking to some girl, so I'm like all by myself, don't know anyone.
This was what, fifth grade?
Something like that. Yeah, we're in elementary school at the time.
A fifth grade player.
Wow. And yeah. There was this one kid that was infamous for bringing his Mega Bloks, and everyone would play those Mega Bloks. And yeah. I was like, well, those aren't Legos, but whatever. So Preston talking to that girl, and I was thinking, like, I guess I'll just go play with this kid's Mega Bloks. So I walk over to him, and I just start digging in his bucket, making like a spaceship or something. Yeah. And this is so funny and humiliating. So I'm sitting there playing with Mega Bloks for like 5 minutes, and all of a sudden this kid just goes, I've had it. He's like, no one can take care of my Mega Bloks. They're all over the floor, and I lose them all the time. He's like, everyone give them back right now. And I'd built like half a spaceship right in front of him. And I just like threw it in the bucket. I was like, yeah, these things are dumb anyway. Preston was forcing me to make him a spaceship. I don't care. And like, I was like really upset that I couldn't finish my spaceship, but I like used Preston as an excuse. Like, he said I had to make him a spaceship, but I don't care. And I like threw it in the bucket and walked away. I'll never forget that. I was just humiliated. He's like, get back my Mega Bloks. And he was like basically saying this to me because he was pissed at everyone else when I was calmly making a spaceship right in his presence. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my goodness.
Tell us about that girl you're hanging with at the karate sleepover.
I don't even remember who it was, what was happening, but I remember that our sleeping bags were next to each other, and I don't know who said it, but another classmate was there, and he like told everybody that I slept with this girl, even though I was sleeping next to her in a sleeping bag.
Right.
And then my teacher the next day was like, what the hell are y'all talking about and stuff, and like it was just turned into a disaster. I was like,
so you didn't pull any moves with this
girl? No, I was in fifth grade. Oh, goodness.
Man. That's the prime time.
Yeah, you're right.
Speaking of the intimidation of our karate instructor, his name was Mr. Long. And even at the time, he was a pretty old man.
Dude, I'll never forget this. He had a son there, too.
He had two sons.
Who was also Mr. Long.
Yeah.
He's like, Mr. Long, Mr. Long, and Mr. Long. And one time we were doing these kicking things, and he was like, all right, now kick towards Mr. Long. And as a joke, he was like, that Mr. Long, which his son was in the front of the place, not me, Mr. Long.
Yeah.
And the stupid kid thought it'd be hilarious to kick the Mr. Long that just said that and did that. And he lost his mind, like grabbed the kid and like threw him out and stuff. It was ridiculous. I was mortified.
I can't imagine what the kid's parents thought about that
guy.
I will never forget the first thing Mr. Long ever said to me. I was in first grade at the time, I think. And I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to do karate. She's like, all right. Obviously, it's on a strip mall next to a Kroger. Yeah. So we go in this karate studio, and he sits me down. He scares me to death. Even to this day, he's a scary man. He's like, so you want to do karate? He's being all nice to me and stuff. And he's like, well, I'll never forget this for as long as I live. I remember like, what if it was, I remember like the temperature in the room. It was like really hot in there. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I had been at school all day, and he just goes, now, my name's Mr. Long, not Mr. Short. And he just smiled at me, and I was like,
God.
And the only other thing I remember is my first karate lesson. They're like, all right, everyone, get in a line, and we're going to step backwards 5 steps and count to 5. And me thinking, count to 5, I speak English, I'm going to count to 5.
What?
Or you don't remember this?
No.
Yeah, we had to learn to count to 5 or 10 in Korean.
Oh,
so
okay.
We start stepping backwards. I'm like, 1, 2, 3. And everyone else is like, I think it was like uno, doso, it was very similar to Spanish, but it wasn't. They were all screaming in Korean. I was like, 1, 2, 3, but I realized they're all doing it in Korean, and I was so humiliated. This kid's looking at me like, you idiot. But
I used to spar with this like little munchkin person, and I just do like a sidekick into their stomach, and they'd fall over. Then yeah. They'd get up, and I'd do it again, like over and over and over again. Mr. Long would get like, now Preston, I'll let them do something too.
Yeah.
And then one more. I remember you told me one time that y'all were learning how to, like, I don't know if you remember this, but how to, like, block bullets with your hands with, like, these gloves. And I used to think, like, whoa, I hope I get there.
I told you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I just learned how to block bullets.
So you said you had, like, these metal gloves. You're, like, blocking bullets.
That's amazing. The only other thing I'll comment on that, because we're desperately running out of time, unfortunately, is, I remember one time Mr. Long was like, hey, I'm going to let you and so-and-so just spar at full contact, which means you can hit as hard as you want, because we're wearing pads, and he'd never let us do this before. Mm-hmm. He's like, you can hit as hard as you want. And naturally thinking nowadays, we just like want to beat the crap out of each other. Me and this kid were so stupid that we literally took turns kicking each other as hard as we could. It was almost like playing like a turn-based RPG. It was like, it was just like my turn. I'd, with all my might, kick him in the stomach as hard as I could. He'd be like, ugh! And then I'd go back to standing, and then he'd be like, whoosh! And be like, use 3 mana points to do your power kick. It was just like, whoop. 10 seconds later, whoop. It's just over and for like 10 minutes. And Mr. Long just stood there and watched us. He's probably thinking, like, you idiots, just attack each other. But it was a turn-based RPG in karate, and that's when the only time I ever did full contact.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious. Moving on, because we're running out of time, big time. Legend of Zelda Wii U, delayed. This is from Lucy O'Brien of IGN, quote, this comes via Nintendo's official Twitter account among a slew of information from the company's latest fiscal results. According to the tweet, the rationale behind the delay is to improve the quality of the game. Though originally scheduled for 2016, the release of the latest Legend of Zelda title is postponed until 2017 to allow further improvement of quality, the tweet reads. Thank you for understanding. Nintendo also confirmed that Zelda Wii U will be coming to the new console, the NX, which is confirmed to launch globally in March 2017. Oh my.
No.
Good thing that's empty.
Yeah.
An NX version is also currently in development to release simultaneously with the Wii U version. Nintendo will focus primarily on the new Zelda at E3, while the NX will be absent from the show. Quote from Nintendo, NX will not make an appearance at the upcoming E3 video game trade show in Los Angeles in June and will be unveiled later this year. Reads a press release from the company. This June, Nintendo will focus its attentions on the upcoming game and the new Legend of Zelda game. The Wii U version of the game will be playable for the first time on the E3 show floor and will be the only playable game that Nintendo presents at the show in order to provide attendees a complete immersion. Okay, that was weird. Additional information about Nintendo's E3 plans will be announced in the future, end quote. So, that's cool, I guess. I think we all expected that to be delayed. That isn't really huge news, and we obviously were like, definitely coming in NX.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of obvious, but it's interesting. That's going to be the only focus from, well, maybe a couple other things, but as far as games are concerned, it's going to be the only focus from Nintendo.
So I wonder if they're going to make a presence at E3. I mean, obviously to play the game, I guess, but I wonder if they're just going to do their stupid Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing that they keep doing this crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're, that's really weird. They're not going to announce the new console at E3. I guess they're just going to do like their own event, kind of like Xbox One and PS4 did.
Yeah. Do they have anything coming out this year? Like, game-wise? As far as, like, there's nothing on the Wii U coming out, right? Like, I'm sure there's a couple games on the 3DS,
no,
but
clue.
It's like, what are they doing?
Clue. Zelda's their main thing that people have been following for a while. Obviously, they're probably just going to be showing the footage of Wii U, but I also wonder the differences between the NX and Wii U, or if it's just going to be a straight port. Because, think about this. If the Wii U is utilizing the screen, like the touchpad and stuff, like the port to NX, like, are they gonna strip? I mean, obviously the Wii U game probably isn't like 100% like centered around that controller, kind of like Star Fox was. That's a game that just came out.
Yeah
That
didn't do well.
Yeah. But so obviously, you know, unless the NX can use the Wii U remote or has a similar controller, which God I hope not.
Maybe they'll use a smartphone controller.
That's your controller, your phone. But that was my main concern, as I was scared they were going to like develop the entire game around the Wii U gamepad, like using it to look and stuff.
Oh, gosh.
So I think that hopefully this kind of confirms that that's not the case if they're putting it on NX as well, unless there's just going to be drastic differences and stuff. But yeah, I'm excited to see what it looks like. The last footage I saw was, I remember Link jumping off the horse and like slow motion shooting an arrow, and I honestly thought it looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I mean, graphically it looked fine, but that didn't look Zelda like in the slightest. So, oh no, I'm excited.
Yeah, speaking of E3, I'm definitely excited to see it too, especially after finishing Ocarina of Time. I have so many more Zelda games I need to play, but after finishing Ocarina of Time, I'm like, a new Zelda game coming, I gotta beat that one now.
Yeah.
But speaking of E3, it's an excellent time to announce that the three of us, It's Obvious Gaming, will be appearing at E3 this year. Yes. We will be on the show floor in a perfect world.
Yeah.
We're not quite at that point yet, but that would be really cool. Boy, speaking of E3 though, from Matt Porter of IGN, quote, E3 is fast approaching, and there are rumors Microsoft could be lining up a new hardware announcement at the show. Microsoft insider Brad Sams wrote on Thurrit.com, that's an interesting word, saying that he expects to see new hardware and a new controller at E3. Citing Microsoft sources, Sam says the new controller would be a similar in design to the current one, but will likely come in a new color. Ooh. Beyond the controller, Sam says the company has a much larger hardware-related announcement coming, which he doesn't have all the details on yet.
The Kinect 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There are rumors it could be a new Elite Xbox One controller.
Yes, technically they Kinect already
3.
Have the 2.
Yeah. That would be so funny. Microsoft is also looking to improve interactions between PC and Xbox One when it comes to game streaming. So expect to see an announcement about that too. End quote. That would be so funny if it was a new Kinect.
We have revamped the Kinect. You can now step inside of the Kinect and you're in the game.
What if there's like four Kinects now in your room?
Right. Do you think they'll talk about Microsoft HoloLens anymore? Is that already out?
No.
Okay,
no.
I was going to say.
There's like dev kits I think you can pre-order. They're like $6,000.
Okay, so that's what I was confused about.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll touch on that at all anymore?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay.
I guess.
Do you think it's a new console? Like a new upgraded console? Kind of how the Neo's floating? Yeah.
There's no.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't care. But I'm interested to find out, but yeah.
I'm not
going to
buy a new Xbox.
I'm buying a PlayStation Neo for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I don't play my Xbox enough to warrant that.
Me neither.
If I did, I definitely would buy one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're definitely getting to the age, probably this is the console generation, where that probably will start as the upgrading starts happening. So
absolutely.
If it stays like PlayStation Neo was, where you can still play the games no matter what, it's just enhanced more on the another one, I don't think that's really a big problem, in my opinion. So
totally. Moving on, boys. Battlefield 5 will be announced this Friday, May 6th. Don't have much else to say
other
than that
was
announced.
World War I trench shooter.
Yeah. I'm actually interested to see what it actually is.
If
I get
it
the
is that, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
Two things are going to make me laugh. That will make me laugh.
Yeah.
I'll still hope it's good, because that's very bold. That will make me laugh, and if they go the future route, that will make me laugh, because future's
another
so overkill.
They've already done, the future.
Yeah,
so. Have they?
Mm-hmm. It's like Battlefield 21.
I forgot about that. Yeah, hopefully it's something interesting.
They need to take advantage of World War II.
I would
love
to.
Me too.
I feel like it would explode.
That is,
yeah,
it's the best route they can go, I think, at this point. Another modern shooter from Battlefield, it would not be interesting.
Make themselves different from this new Infinite Warfare, which is supposed to be like super sci-fi, like in space and stuff.
Hey, maybe they'll do Cops and Robbers too.
Yeah,
that's the name, Battlefield.
Yeah,
Cops and Robbers.
Okay. Take this with a grain of salt, boys.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying this is already true, which I wouldn't be surprised based on Sony's reputation with delaying games. This could probably is true. I hate to say it. But from David Scammell of videogamer.com, quote, Guerrilla's upcoming PS4 Robo Dino action RPG. That's the funniest description.
That's the most amazing description.
I know. PS4 Robo Dino action RPG. This sounds like a Power Rangers action figure. Horizon Zero Dawn has been pushed back to 2017. According to industry insider Shinobi 602, Shinobi claims to have heard the game now won't launch until early next year, tweeting that it is going to look splendid on PS4K. That's interesting as well.
For Neo.
Yep. Sony has yet to announce a delay, with the game still officially on track for release later this year. Videogamer.com has contracted Sony Computer Entertainment for comment. Shinobi has accurately leaked information in the past, however, including the inclusion of a four-player co-op mode in Assassin's Creed Unity. He most recently claimed that this year's Call of Duty will be set in space, which was later backed up by Eurogamer. Horizon Zero Dawn was announced at last year's E3 and sees lead character Aloy protecting her tribe from savage machines.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. Would you guys be devastated that this is delayed?
I wouldn't be devastated, because it just happens.
Right.
I mean, it's happened to Uncharted 3 times now.
It's happened to almost
every game, so I think it just kind of comes with it.
I'm just like used to it.
I would just be disappointed.
You better bet your ass The Last Guardian is coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
To take its place, because Sony's got to have a first-party game coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't wait for E3. Just to learn all this stuff.
Next month, man.
Such I'm a, excited. Such a we happy will be time. Covering E3. I don't know if we haven't even planned how we're going to do it. We might just do what we did last year.
What, do you know what day of the week it falls on?
I think it's
it
on
starts
a Tuesday.
Sunday, right?
I think
Bethesda, or Bethesda's doing... Oh, no, last year Bethesda started Sunday. Yeah. Then Monday was Microsoft and Sony, EA, and Ubisoft. And then Tuesday was like PC and like...
Okay. I'm going to try and make sure I don't have anything going on those days.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask off from work like this week just so I for sure am good to go for that. I'm only gonna ask off for Monday. That's the main day we need. At the end of the week, we can recap stuff.
I'm pretty sure
stuff.
I asked for that week off like a long time ago.
All right, cool. Boys, thankfully, I can wrap this up pretty quickly because I have to go ASAP or I'm screwed. I have to get to work. So we apologize for the rush of a podcast this morning, but thank you so much for joining us. To continue on, I wanted to kind of announce, which I think would be a cool thing to do that we haven't done before. For anyone that didn't know, I was going to announce the PS Plus games for May and the Xbox games for Gold in May. Because some of this stuff usually appeals to me. And some of these actually do. I'm going to give them a shot. PS Plus games for May. Bionic Commando Rearm 2 for PS3. God of War Ghost of Sparta on PS Vita.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I'm excited.
Loco Roco Corecho. Lord knows how to pronounce that. I apologize for PS3. Yeah. Switch Galaxy Ultra on PS4 and PS Vita. Tabletop Racing World Tour for PS4 and Tropico 5 on PS4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that stands out to me is God of War for sure.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty cool. Xbox games for Gold for May. Xbox Live Gold members will be able to download the tower defense game Defense Grid 2 on Xbox One from May 1st to May 31st, and the Halloween themed RPG Costume Quest 2 from May 16th to June 15th. On Xbox 360 side of things,
that's my jam.
Yeah. On the 360 side of things, with Xbox One backwards compatibility, players can download the racing game Grid 2 from May 1st to May 15th. May 15th, and the puzzle game Peggle, which is awesome, from May 16th to May 31st. So I love Peggle. Peggle's a classic to me. Yeah. And that was it for gaming news.
Wow.
And there wasn't a whole lot that happened, but definitely some interesting stuff nonetheless. I think out of all of it, obviously what stood out to me the most was Infinite Warfare is pretty cool, and I'm hoping that the Spider-Man thing's true. Mm-hmm. Fat chance, but I'm hoping that it is.
Fat chance.
Speaking of fat chance, the reason why I say that, I thought this was so funny. There's a band that some of you may or may not know. There's a band called He Is Legend. It's like a southern metal rock band. And they've never been super famous, but they've been moderately successful, and they mostly do tours around the U.S. and stuff. Well, I was introduced to this band from the vocalist of mine and Preston's band years ago, and he's like, this band's cool, you should check them out. Checked them out, had some cool tunes, and turns out, a few months later, they were coming to Marietta, Georgia, and he's like, dude, let's go see them, this will be awesome. This is a small venue, it'll be kind of an intimate type show, it'll be really cool, like, awesome, sounds good. So I've been listening to their music for a solid month before we go and see them, and I was like, really excited about the tunes that are going to be playing. And so we get to the show, and the band's there, and they're like talking to people, and their vocalist is like in their van smoking weed. Just in the van, just smoking, whatever, that's fine. So he's doing his thing, and there's this one song that we're big fans of called I Am Hollywood. That's the name of the song, and we're really hoping they're going to play this song. So Chris, the vocalist of mine and Preston's band, he's like, hey, I'm going to go ask them if they're going to play that song, just to make sure that they do. I'm like, all right. So Chris goes over to this vocalist, he's like, hey, like, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. He's like, hey, you guys going to play I Am Hollywood tonight? And he just starts laughing and, like, takes out his joint or whatever, and he's like, fat chance, and laughs in Chris's face. And the whole show, the band played all the songs, and the vocalist was either just yelling into the mic, or he would just be, I kid you not, he'd be in the corner of the stage just rolling a new joint while the band was playing the song. He barely sang the entire time, and they had to, like, apologize for the vocalist acting like such an idiot the whole time. And he was just, like, laughing and stuff at the crowd and smoking while they were playing the songs, and I was, like, more so for Chris, because Chris had been a fan for years, but I had just grown to like this band. I was like, this is hilarious. But I'll never forget just him just, like, blowing a puff of smoke out, being like, fat chance. I thought that was hilarious. Guys, lastly, as far as video games and movies are concerned.
Wait, did he play the song?
No.
No, they did not. They did not. It was a bummer. Alicia Vikander, I don't know how to pronounce her name correctly, is to play Lara Croft in Tomb Raider reboot. If you guys don't know, she's the actress from Ex Machina. She was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And she was in The Danish Girl, which I did not see. She's in a few other things coming out soon. But she's a very talented actress. I think she also looks the part. I'm excited to see her
Boobs?
Yeah.
What?
I'm excited to see her take on the role of Lara Croft, especially inspired for the new games, because that, obviously, as we know, made her a real human being with real struggles and had to fight to survive and stuff. If they go that route, I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Movie has a lot of potential. Let's hope it's good. That's
I'm
cool.
Excited.
Do you guys think she's a cool choice for the role?
Why wasn't Daisy picked?
Yeah, that's what's funny. Daisy would have been.
She would have been. Yeah, good.
Daisy, she would have been great. But I'm kind of glad.
Yeah. I think Alicia will do a fantastic job. That's pretty cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
Lastly, the Punisher Netflix series was officially announced. It's pretty cool. Have you guys seen Daredevil at all?
Yeah.
Have you seen season 2?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Me and Jacob, you like it, don't you?
Nah, he's cool, but like, I'm not like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just like, cool. I'll watch it, I guess.
I watched like 5 episodes of the first season, and mm-hmm. I really liked it, but for some reason I stopped.
It's a great show.
Yeah, you should
finish it.
It's really
yeah,
good.
I should finish it. Thanks. I haven't even watched Game of Thrones this season yet.
It's
Get
a
out.
Pretty solid opening episode.
I know,
yeah.
I want to watch it.
The ending's
I need to redo my HBO. I don't even have it anymore. So I'm going to probably subscribe to the online HBO.
You probably should.
Take a
that's how I watch it.
Okay.
I watch it online. But yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Punisher, I thought Jon Bernthal did a pretty solid job in season 2. I watch all the Marvel series. Like, for example, Jessica Jones, I knew nothing about. I read about her character and I was like, that's interesting. Watch the show. I liked it a lot. And obviously, I think you've said it too, Preston. We're like pretty much open to anything Marvel does now because they do such a great job with everything. Ant-Man, for example. I'm definitely going to see Doctor Strange. I know nothing about him, but it looks cool. So I'll definitely, and Punisher I've known about. Punisher's a cool character. I thought he was awesome in season 2 of Daredevil, and he was so brutal. Like, I was so surprised at how brutal they went with him. So I'm excited to see a full series of him just kicking ass.
Oh, yeah.
Boys, I'm so sorry that we were such a tight schedule.
We need to get you out of here.
Yeah, I hope I don't get fired if I'm late. It's like that serious of a thing. I have to
be
there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's very serious.
Let's end it here.
Yeah.
That was episode 49 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. If you liked it, please give us a like below, comment, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace.
Especially MySpace. Yeah, Audio Boom and iTunes.
Audio Boom and iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes if you like us. If you don't like us, just give us a 0-star rating.
Yeah.
Don't give us any of that 3-star crap.
Yeah.
But anyways, gentlemen, I think that'll end it for today. Any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts are, I thought the news was fun. As I stated, out of all this news, I hope Spider-Man's true. I want to say to our viewers, no matter where you are or what you're doing, you chose to listen to this podcast today. And for that, we are very thankful. You're all amazing.
Yes.
God bless each and every one of you.
Yes.
We'll catch you again very soon.
Bye. Yes. We'll see you next week.
You want to say anything, Jake?
No, that's it.
Okay.
We don't need to hear from you.
You guys are awesome. Have a good one.
Bye.